Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. You're listening to the Qalam podcast. Alhamdulillah, we here at Qalam are growing, and one of the amazing new additions that we have here at Qalam that you've probably already gotten a chance to listen to is Imam Mikail Smith. Alhamdulillah, Imam Mikail is a phenomenal scholar and imam who teaches full-time at the Qalam Seminary, but also makes time in between to not only conduct this podcast and share this with y'all, but he also teaches really amazing online classes that you can find at QalamConnect.com. That's QalamConnect.com. So inshallah, go to the website, check out the classes. The spring semester just kicked off. People are really excited, having a really great time, learning a lot. Inshallah, check out the courses there, and hopefully you're able to sign up for the upcoming semester. Now, I'm going to let you all get back to the podcast with our beloved and amazing instructor, Imam Mikail Smith, who is teaching a phenomenal, very insightful new class on the rights of companionship and friendship. So listen, enjoy, and share with family and friends. Jazakumullahu khairan. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wassalatu wassalam ala sayyidina wa nabiyyina wa maulana Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Allahumma inna nas'aluka hubbak wa hubba man yuhibbuk wa hubba amalin yuqarribuna ila hubbik ya rabbil alameen. Allahumma inna nas'aluka al-huda wa tuqa wa al-afafa wa al-ghina ya rabbil alameen. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the correct intentions as we come together to learn and study and benefit from each other's company. I'm really excited about tonight's class because tonight's class is the beginning of a new series that we started last week, which is based on a book by Imam Sha'arani, Abdul Wahhab Sha'arani. He wrote a book called Al-Anwar Fi Adab al-Suhbah. Adab al-Suhbah ind al-Ikhtiyar. So he wrote a book that talks about the etiquettes of friendship and companionship, brotherhood and sisterhood. He wrote an entire book just on this topic of what are the rights of one friend on another. What are the rights of brotherhood? And last week we spoke about how if we look at our Ashabi kan nujum, our role models, right? And if we actually look closely at what quality they have that sets them apart from the rest of the ummah, it was what? What was that quality, Munir? Suhbah. They only had one thing. They had suhbah. And suhbah is company, good friendship, who they were around, who they chilled with. And actually, we just call them like, he's a sahabi, bus. We don't say like, Hafiz Abu Bakr, Sheikh Umar. Nah, it's just Umar radiallahu anhu, because he was a sahabi. But if you look closely at that relationship, all it really was whose company he kept. That's the only thing that set him apart from the rest of this whole ummah. Now, we obviously believe that Allah chose them for that company. Yes, no doubt, right? We believe that Allah chose them to be in that company. But at the end of the day, the thing that makes them different from the rest of the ummah is the mere company that they kept, right? Now, Allah talks about brotherhood in the Quran, فَأَصْبَحْتُمْ بِنِعْمَتِهِ إِخْوَانًا. And he basically says in this verse that by the blessing of God, you became brothers and sisters to one another. Now, what's beautiful about this verse is that it's considered one of the blessings of God to have good company, to have good people around you, right? And that's why Imam Shafi from last week, do you remember the quote from last week? Do you remember the quote? He said, subhanAllah, he said, if it wasn't for لَوْلَا صُحْبَةِ الْأَخْيَارِ وَمَنَاجَاتُ حَقْ تَعَالَ بِالْأَصْحَارِ مَا أَحْبَبْتُ الْبُقَى فِي هَذِهِ الدَّارِ. He's like, if it wasn't for the fact that I could chill with good people, hang out with good people, in our terms, chill with my boys, if it wasn't for that, and waking up at tahajjud, I don't even want to be in this world no more. Like, that's how much of a blessing he saw, this thing of brotherhood, right? And Imam Sha'arani, he begins this book, and he says, اعلم وفقني الله وإياك إلى ما يحب. He goes, no. And may Allah give you tawfiq and me tawfiq to what he loves. Tawfiq in divine enablement, right? Open the doors for you, right? And he says, أن الصحبة في الله تعالى من أوثق أور الإسلام. This is what I want to stop for a moment. He says that one of the strongest ropes of Islam, one of the strongest ropes for your iman is what? As-suhbah, good friends, good company. Good company. But any blessing, this is what we said last week. Why are we studying this? Because every single blessing in Islam has adab. Every single blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has etiquettes, has rights. And the job of the Muslim is to learn those rights from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We said last week, a mother is a blessing from Allah. Ask someone who lost their mother. It's like, they're like, yo, you got everything. Your mom's still alive. And you're like, yo, wow. But there's rights. Like, you got a job. There's rights to that. You study ilm. There's rights to that. Whatever, you have a wife. She has rights. You have a husband. He has rights. All of these blessings have rights and etiquettes about preserving those. And so what he did, and many scholars did, is any blessing that we had, they wrote about the etiquettes needed to preserve that blessing. So he wrote this book. The book has over 67 rights of friends. Over 67 rights of friends that people have on you. And it just goes to show how detached we've come and how we haven't recognized and my children are here. Okay. They have rights too. Okay. Karima, you want to sit here? Come. Okay. All right, good. Okay. So we're talking about this blessing of ukhuwa, brotherhood, right? Now think about this. What was the first thing the Prophet ﷺ did when he arrived in Medina, besides build the masjid? Exactly. The very first thing that the Prophet ﷺ did to establish Islam, for Islam to gain roots in that place, was build a brotherhood and a sisterhood. That's a big sign, because if you want Islam to take roots in your life, you need that company. You need that positive company. You need that ukhuwa. And they fulfilled those rights, and they taught us about what those rights are. Now, in this first chapter, before we actually get into these rights, he talks extensively about, is it better to mingle with the people or to spend time by yourself? Now, Susan Cain has an amazing book called Quiet. Has anyone read Quiet by Susan Cain? You've read it? Yeah. My wife, I know you read it. She read it. Oh, okay. You read it too? Okay. Little dude thinks he read it. Okay. He was in the womb when I was reading that book. All right. So anyways, Susan Cain wrote a book called Quiet. And she talks about the powerful introvert, right? Like, we live in a society that, like, gives all this power to the extrovert, to the alpha, right? And if you're not an alpha, come out of your shell. Like, what's wrong with you? You need to get in touch with your alpha side. But Susan Cain writes about, no. Introverts have a deep power inside of them, and don't make society force you out of that if that's your natural, if that's who you are, right? So it's very interesting. So just to kind of jump off of that, Imam Sha'arani here, he talks about, well, what's better, to mix with people or spend time by myself? What is it? What is it? What is it? Sheikha. What is it? MashaAllah. Malik. My man. Yes, it is both. What he says is this. If you're in the beginning of finding yourself, you need time alone. If you're on the beginning of this path of finding about who you are, your relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, your relationship with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, your relationship with the deen, getting to know yourself, you need to be by yourself. You need more time by yourself. Now, if you look at the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, before wahi came, what happened? حُبِّبَ إِلَيْهِ الْخَلَاءِ. He started to be love to be by himself. Then he goes, Imam Sha'rani goes, but yo, that's not how, no, once you get to know who you are, once you build your identity, once you build your connection with Allah, guess what? He says it's wajib on you to go back with the people. Because now you're a guide for other people. You have to help other people out. And then he says, guess what though? When it's time to go back to Allah, then what? That's when you start to love that solitude again. Like the Prophet ﷺ, when Surah An-Nasr came down, there's like he changed after that. Because now it's time to go back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? So similarly, the way I looked at it is like, the beginning of your life, you need this time alone to find yourself. Then when you get the strength of identity, you need to be with the people, benefit the people, help people, benefit from them. Then when it's time to go back, you start to spend time alone, again, by yourself. The interesting thing is, I think we could plan our day like this too. Before Fajr, you need that time by yourself. Not the first thing you do when you wake up is check Instagram. First thing you do, you wake up, you're like, yo, what happened? Whoa, hold on. Don't you need time, like, with you and Allah before you engage the creation? Right? Don't you need to first establish yourself with Allah before? So if you take the day, subhanAllah, we can do the same concept, which is in the morning time before Fajr time, sit by yourself, just you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then, normal things you need to do, go to school, go to work, do this, do that. Cool. I'm back with the people. Then right before I go to sleep, what is it? It's me and Allah again. It's me and Allah again. That's it. Not the last thing. First thing I do is Facebook. Last thing I do is Instagram. That's it. That's my day right there. Nah. The beginning is with Allah. The end is with Allah. The middle of the day, I'm waqf for the people. I'm here for the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help them. Right? So we're talking about this blessing of brotherhood. And we said that on this path, something you're going to need is strong friendships. But the ropes of friendships are being broken too much in our communities. We don't have brotherhood in the community. Many things are lost from the community. Why? Because we never sat down and actually learned the hukuk or rights of friendship and brotherhood. So that's what we're going to do in this class, inshallah ta'ala. Khair, inshallah. I'm excited. This is such, this when I read this the first time, it had such a profound effect on me and some of my friends. And I think you guys will really benefit from this, inshallah ta'ala. So look what he says here. I'm just going to start from the beginning. He says, فَصْلُ الثَّانِي فِي ذِكْرِ شَيْءٍ مِّنْ حُقُوقِ الصُّحْبَةِ. He goes, second chapter, I'm going to tell you a little bit about the rights of friendship and companionship. He says that there are many different rights, and the ulama and scholars have written book after book on this. I'm just going to share a few of them with you, inshallah. Right number one. Now, there's over 60 of these. So if you're going to be following the podcast or following the Facebook page, I recommend you write these down, or coming in person. That's the best thing, obviously. Right? I recommend you write them down and go over them throughout the week. Number one. وَمِنْ حَقِّ الْأَخْ عَلَى الْأَخِ أَوْ أُخْتَ عَلَى الْأُخْتِ وَمِنْ حَقِّ الْأَخْ عَلَى الْأَخِ أَنْ يَتَعَامِيَ عَنْ أُيُوبِهِ. He says, number one, started off from the beginning. The first right that your friend has upon you is that you become blind from their faults. You become blind of their faults. You know, Imam Ghazali, he says, the eye of love sees no fault. The eye of hate sees no good. The eye of love, you see a beauty mark, you're like, wow, that's so beautiful. Someone else, you're like, what's that? She got a mole on her face. It's all out of place. Seriously. Like Layla and Majnun, right? She was dark-skinned. He loved everything dark. Because that became the sign of beauty, right? When you have love, you don't see those faults. And subhanAllah, you see someone who's in love, you can't talk them out of nothing. You're like, bro, like, they're like, nah, man. Yo, nah. You're like, yo, but look. Nah, yo, that's beautiful. Like, the scars all on it. No, he's, yo, man. Right? Subhanallah. It's amazing. And then when there's no love, it could be the most beautiful thing. Look at that. Look at this. It's narrated in Ihya that Isa alayhi salam was walking with the Hawariyin. And I think I shared this with you once before. Isa alayhi salam, Jesus was walking with the disciples, right? And they walk past a dead mule that's rotting. And everyone's like covering, they're trying to, and they're like, oh, it stinks, it's horrible. And then Isa stops everyone. He's like, but look how white the teeth are. Like, look how white, everyone else couldn't help but smell the bad and see the bad. But Isa himself was so pure that all he could do was see the good. So he looks at it and he looks for good. And that's a quality that the believer must have, that we look for good. So the first thing he says here is that the right of one friend of another friend is that they become blind from the faults of their friend. فَقَدَ قَالَ الْمَشَايِخِ مَنْ نَظَرَ إِلَىٰ أُيُوبِ النَّاسِ قَلَّ نَفْعُهُ وَخَرِبَ قَلْبُهُ. If you need one reason why you need to stop looking at the faults of your friends and people around you, it's this statement here. He says, the scholars say that the one who's constantly looking at the faults of people, قَلَّ نَفْعُهُ. You can't benefit from the company of that person. Constant negativity. And then, خَرِبَ قَلْبَ. The heart becomes so dirty. The heart of that person, we all know that company. You sit with them, and from the moment you sit with them, negativity. You go into the most beautiful place, you walk in haram, and they're like, yeah, but look at this. You're like, yo, what do you want? What will please you? So he said, they say that what? The benefit of that person who always sees negativity drops. You won't benefit from their company. And they themselves, the heart becomes so khariba, like just like kharib, like kharab, messed up, devoid of any benefit. And then he says, وَقَالُوا إِذَا رَأَيْتُمُ الرَّجُلُ مُوَكِّلًا بِأُيُوبِ النَّاسِ خَبِيرًا بِهَا فَعْلَمُوا أَنَّهُ قَدَ مُقِرَ بِهِ. He's like, if you find a person who is always involved with the faults of people, and then he says, خَبِيرًا بِهَا. You know those people that always know the gossip of other people? They always know the aibs of other people? They know everything about it? All the details? Like, yo, you want the real story? Come, I got you. I'll give you the real story. They don't even know the half. Like, I know what really went down. Like, seriously? He says, قَدَ مُقِرَ. Know that this person is not guided. Muqira is like, as if like, istidraj against that person. That Allah has no khair meant for that person. So he says two things. They always see them, but khabiran too. They got their ear to the wall. They got their ear to the wall like, oh, okay. Always aware of those faults of people. And then continuing forward, he says, this is the worst part. This is the worst part about this type of friend. He says, وَمِنْ عَلَامَاتِ الْإِسْتِدْرَاجِ لِلْعَبْدِ نَذْرِهِ فِي أُيُوبِ النَّاسِ وَعَمَّاهُ عَنْ أُيُوبِ نَفْسِهِ. The worst part about always seeing the faults of people is that you become blind to your own faults. And that's the objective of the mu'min. The objective of the mu'min is actually to become aware of their own faults. But so long as you're preoccupied with the faults of everyone else in the room, you never get the tawfiq to actually bring about self-reform and better yourself. Because you're constantly just preoccupied with the faults of other people. So, and then he says, continuing forward, just to get the depth of this, he says, مَا رَأَيْنَا. We have not seen شَيْءٍ أَحْبَطَ لِلْأَعْمَالِ وَأَفْسَدْ لِلْقُلُوبِ وَأَسْرَأْ فِي حَلَاكِ الْعَبْدِ. There is nothing that is going to take away your good deeds more or destroy your heart more than being preoccupied with the faults of the people that are around you. Like my teacher used to say, like, try to be like the honeybee that looks on beautiful things and sits there, finds those things. Don't be like the fly that looks for the most disgusting thing and sits there and becomes preoccupied with that thing. So the first thing, we'll go on to haq number one. What is haq number one? That you become blind from the faults of your friend, right? You see good in them. Now, obviously, guys, this doesn't mean we don't do nasiha, right? But this is when all we see in people is aib. All we see in them is faults. Khair, number two. This haq number one is we become blind. Okay. Number two. Haq number two. وَمِنْ حَقِ الْأَخْ عَلَى الْأَخْ. أن يحمل ما يراه منه على وجه. No, it's coffee. It'll stunt your growth. Go. Can you go to mommy? Okay. Listen to this. He says the second right. Okay, go. Yes, it's dirty. Can you go to mommy, please? Thank you. ومن حق الأخ على الأخ. Number two. أن يحمل ما يراه منه على وجه من تأويل الجميل ما أمكن. فإن لم يجد تأويلا رجع على نفسه باللوم. He says, okay, the second right that your friend has upon you or you have on your friend is that you interpret the things that you see from them with husna dhan, with a good interpretation. You try your best to do what he calls husna ta'wil or ta'wil jameel, where you intend or take the best from what they do. You don't automatically assume the worst. And this is a problem we have in our communities that, you know, in the community, in a community that I was in before, what would happen sometimes is, just an example of this, right? Like, there would be food being passed out in Ramadan, right? And long lines, everybody's hungry, emotions are high. And you know, we got the people serving, mashallah, they're doing khidmah, free, no one's paying them. But they got rules, you know, you give one piece of chicken to each person, so everybody gets it, right? So I remember so clearly this huge fitna happened in a community, I'm not going to be, you know, in a community, where someone was given one piece of chicken, right? And all of a sudden it became a race issue. Like, that was the reason why I got one chicken, and a little chicken at that. Like, really? Is that the first thing? No. Sit down. No, coffee. Everyone wants the coffee, subhanAllah. Okay. The point here, the point as a community, we need to develop this quality as of what? That and we live in a society that's cutthroat. Like, especially like on the Northeast, right? Cutthroat, where you don't trust many people. Right, you don't trust many people, so automatically we get this kind of street smarts where we assume the worst. But that doesn't create a community of love and muwadda between us. So we need to actually learn how to put that guard down when we're in the masajid and when we're with who are our friends and brothers. That whatever we see from them, we interpret it in a positive way. So he says here, that when we see something that happened, that they did something, that we need to learn that quality of interpreting it in a positive way. And then he gives a nasiha where he says this. He goes, listen, the whole community is not at the same level. Everybody's at a different level of their iman. And he says, what we see today, our people are so quick to find fault in their brothers and sisters. Right away. Why'd you do this? Haram, this, that. They jump on it. And subhanAllah, we live in this kind of like call out culture. Where the moment we see something that's a bit shady, call it out right away. And Dr. Jonathan Brown actually has an article on this whole call out culture of the American Muslim, where we just want to call everybody out right away. In here he says, and I'm going to read this verbatim because it's so powerful. He says, فَمَا نَرَى الْيَوْمِ مِنْ عَاجِلِ الْإِنْكَارِ مِنْ بَعْضِ الْإِخْوَةِ دُونَ مَرَاعَاتِ لِهَذِهِ الْوَسِيَّةِ. He says, look what we see today, how people are so quick to blame and find fault in people of their brothers without knowing and looking at this beautiful advice that we have about looking at the good. He says, how many people are missing from the sufuf, from our masjids, because someone was so quick to cast judgment on somebody? This is not my words. This is Imam Sha'rani, hundreds of years ago. Saying what? Saying how many people are absent from our masajid because someone was so quick to find blame. Then he goes forward. He says, you have to realize everybody's not at the same level. People are at different levels. And we walk into the community having just heard the lecture, iman on super high, and all of a sudden now we want everyone to come to that level of iman that we're temporarily at right now, not knowing where we will be at next week. And another point on that, Imam Ghazali in Ihya al-Umadeen says, you're not even supposed to do Amr bil ma'ruf and nahyan in munkar until you learn what is really munkar. Let me explain that in English. Like, we have this whole idea of correct the encourage the right and correct the wrong. Imam Ghazali's like, but you can't do that until you actually learn first. You have to first become a student because you don't even know the different madhahib, the different opinions, the different... You don't know enough to be doing munkar. Your whole scope of understanding is that big. So what you're calling a munkar, you may not even know because your limited knowledge that this person is acting on another opinion in the deen with just as much right and authority as you. So this is a huge one, huge, that we see things from our community, we see things from our friends, from our brothers, and we interpret that in a good way. Like the first thing that comes to our mind is like, oh, that's what she meant. Oh, she probably meant this. And it's something, if you look inside, it's very hard for a lot of us. For many of us, the first thing is like, throw shade, right? She's throwing shade. Allah give us tawfiq, man. Okay, bismillah. You good? Subhanallah, sahih. Subhanallah. Haq number three. So even that, subhanallah, the sister just said, for whoever didn't hear, like the hadith about 70 excuses. I don't want to bring that up yet, because there's a hadith, one of the haq is going to come, that's their right. So I don't want to bring that up yet. But this is even before you have to make the excuse. This one he's talking about right now is before that. It's like what I see from that person, I interpret it in a positive way from the beginning. Not that I interpret it in the worst way possible. Fahim to him, inshallah. Taib. This dude, mashallah. Number three. وَمِنْ حَقِّ الْأَخْ عَلَى الْأَخْ. Number three, everyone. Number three. أن يرجو له من الخيرات والمسامحة وقبول التوبة ولو فعل من المعاصي الإسلامي ما فعل كما يرجو ذلك لنفسه. Simple. Even if person falls in sin, falls in haram, he says that you hope from the depth of your heart for good for this person, for قبول التوبة. For them to get on the path. You really, really, from the depth of your heart, wish good for them. An yarju, what does he say? He says, an yarju lahu min al khayrat. Subhanallah. We talked about hating in the previous. Like, build that love. Stop hating. Don't hate on people. Yes. Is this the third one? This is number three, yes. An yarju lahu min al khayrat. You hope deep down inside for good of other people. Like, you see someone has something good, you're like, Ya Allah. We talked about this in jealousy when we talked about. Like, you're like, Ya Allah, increase her. Give her more of that. She gets in sin, he gets in sin. Ya Allah, some of us, what is it? See? Right? The moment the sin happens, see? No. We're like, Ya Allah, make it easy for her. Make it easy for him. So you hope for deep good for that person. أن يرجو له من الخيرات والمسامحة وقبول التوبة. That's number three. Okay, number four I want to spend a little time on. You know, who's perfect, man? Who's perfect? No one. كل بني آدم خطاء. He says here, وَمِنْ حَقِّ الْأَخِ عَلَى الْأَخِ. True signs of friendship are what? أَلَّا يَنْظُرْ إِلَى زَلَّةٍ سَبَقَتْ. Slips that happened in the past, you forget about them. You let them go. Listen. Allow people to start every day fresh with you. Allow people to start every day fresh. Don't let people have a tab left over from yesterday of hate that you got in your heart for them. Every day, let me start fresh with you. Okay, I messed up today. But tomorrow is a whole new day. And subhanAllah, you think this is a small deed? Do you guys remember Bilal al-Habashi radiallahu anhu? You guys remember Bilal, the mu'adhin of the Prophet ﷺ? The Prophet ﷺ is walking in Jannah. He's like, I heard your footsteps in Jannah. Like, you're walking on earth, but the people of paradise, we could hear where you were walking. What do you do? The Prophet ﷺ is asking Bilal, What is the action you do that the people of Jannah, paradise, can hear your footsteps? What do you do? He goes, the most I can think I do is that when I go to sleep at night, I forgive every single person, every single believer. I forgive them for everything and I go to sleep with a clean heart. Man, we have people that haven't talked to sisters, cousins, brothers for years. And Bilal's like, I'm not going to let 24 hours pass without my heart clean. Fresh tab, fresh start. Tomorrow's a brand new day. That's powerful. That's powerful. You know, Ahmed bin Hanbal, rahimahullah, he went through a test in his life. You guys know the mihna that he went through. The test, what was the test about? Hajjaj bin Yusuf was forcing this kind of theology that wasn't mainstream on the scholars of that time. Right? And Ahmed bin Hanbal was, rahimahullah, he's like, no, I'm not giving in. I'm not giving in. So Hajjaj bin Yusuf had him whipped publicly. Public humiliation in front of everybody, right? And he's being whipped, right? And they asked him, what was going through your mind after when you were being whipped by Hajjaj? What was going through your mind? And he said, you know what? After every single lash that hit me, I forgave him before the next one hit me. Before the next one hit me. Subhanallah. Like, what level is that? And you know why? They said, why? There's like, because he's from the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and I don't want Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam mad at me, that why do you have anger to source one of my ummati? Like, and you're mad at your cousin for not inviting you to a wedding? Or something even, like, really? I'm just giving, like, something that came to my mind, but you guys know the families. Like, he's being whipped. And before the next one hits, he's forgiving. Yes, it's daddy. Okay. So, subhanAllah, this is, allow people to start fresh with you. Don't take that to sleep with you. Let that go. Let that go. Let yesterday go. And, okay. Everyone's here to listen, guys. You guys get me all day. Okay. وَيَكْشِفُ لَهُ أَوْرَةَ سُطِرَتْ. Look, he says, وَلَا يَكْشِفُ لَهُ أَوْرَةً سُطِرَتْ. And never reveal that thing of that friend that has been covered up. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has covered that thing, this is still number four. This is still number four. He says, and the hadith says, please listen to this hadith. Really, really take it to heart. We hear hadith so many times that we just let kind of, oh yeah, I heard that before. Listen to this hadith again. Man ra'a awratan. Whoever sees something that's not so good from a brother or sister. Fasataraha. And they cover it up. Fakana kaman ahya ma'udatan min qabriha. So let's context. We know the Arabs, they had this high level of ghayra or jealousy, that they had this thing, if they had a female child, they would bury the child alive. It's in the Quran, right? And the Prophet ﷺ in this hadith says, like, can you imagine giving life to someone who has lost all hope in life? Can you imagine what you would feel if you were in this situation where you lost all hope in life? And someone opened doors for you, just erased everything. It's like they gave you a new life. The Prophet ﷺ says, when you hide the fault of someone, that's exactly what it's like you're doing. You're opening new doors for them. You're giving them a chance to live again without that regret of fault on their heart. You guys get what I'm saying? And it reminds me, I'm sure I shared this story with you guys. Imam Asma'i. Right, I think I shared that story with you guys once before, but it's such a beautiful story of Imam Asma'i. Can you take him? I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. Go to mommy. I'm sorry. Please? I'm sorry, guys. I'm sorry. Khair. Imam Asma'i, rahimahullah. He has this name of the deaf imam. But he got that name for something beautiful that happened. So he was sitting in the masjid one day. He was sitting in the masjid one day. And an older lady comes in to ask him a question. And as she sits down in front of him to ask the question, she passes gas. Right there, loud. Right in front of the imam. Like, come on, you can imagine. Like, she starts turning red. So embarrassed, right? So right away, you know what Imam Asma'i does? He goes, sister, I'm kind of hard of hearing. So when you ask the question, make sure you ask loudly. You know that weight came off. Like I got a new chance. He didn't hear nothing. He heard. Maybe smelled something too, right? But the point was, he gave her a new chance. Like, it's beautiful. Like, she felt this small. But what did he do? He just opened this door by erasing the past. And what happens is we interact with people every day with things that they did 3 months ago. Let things go. Start new, start fresh. Allow people every day. Just think of Bilal radiallahu anhu. All he's doing is he's going to sleep at night, clearing his heart, and like, today's a fresh day. I'm not going to take any tab over to the next day. May Allah give us tawfiq. Allah give us tawfiq, inshallah. Continuing with the same one, he says, continuing with the same idea, concept, he says, كُلُّ مَنْ لَمْ يَسْتُرْ عَلَىٰ إِخْوَانِهِ مَا يَرَىٰ مِنْهُمْ مِنْ حَفْوَاتِ فَقَدَ فَتَحَ عَلَىٰ نَفْسِهِ بَابَ كَشْفَ أَوْرَتِهِ. He says, everyone, now you could choose not to, but just guess what? Goes around, comes around. He says, everyone that opens the doors of others' faults, just your turn coming next. It's just your faults are going to be exposed as well. Right? And people forget that when fitna happens, when things happen, people forget. What are you going to do when you're on the other side of that? Right? SubhanAllah. So beautiful advice by Imam Sha'rani. I want to just review. I want to make sure we're actually, you know, taking this home. Number one, what was number one? أَن يَتَعَامِيَ عَنْ أُيُوب. So the first thing is that these eyes become eyes that don't see fault. They only see good. SubhanAllah, if you study the Prophet ﷺ, you'll notice that he only sees good. Everywhere around him, anyone around him, he sees good in them. So that's the first thing. Only see good. Look for good. And now what's going to happen is, what we notice right away, is when you see something, that shaitan comes up, and you'll see it in yourself. But after reading this, that's where we go, astaghfirullah. What's up with me? How come I'm always seeing fault? What's wrong with me? Astaghfirullah. Let me clean that. Let alone speak on it, right? So the first thing was what? That we blind ourselves to the fault. Number two. What was number two? Husnadhan, basically. Husnadhan, meaning good opinion. Meaning, you see something that it can be interpreted in two ways. Force yourself to interpret it in the better way. Force yourself to interpret it in the better way. Number three. SubhanAllah. Wish good. Intend good from people. Hope for good from people. Try to get the hope and make dua for that thing. And number four, SubhanAllah, to allow people to start fresh with you every single day. I'm not carrying any baggage over till tomorrow. I may die tonight. I want to die with a clean heart. I want to die with a clean heart. Now here's the deal. If you don't do this, you will get 40, 50, 60 years old, heart full of dirt. Heart full of dirt, because what? The world's not perfect. You're going to get dirt from people. People are going to disrespect you, say things, hurt you. But if you don't allow yourself to forgive and move on, at the end of the day, you have to live with your heart. Just remember that. At the end of the day, you're the one living with your heart, not me. So clean that. Clean that. Allah give us tawfiq. And part of that one, and part of that one is, don't look at past. Let it go. Let it be gone. Cover it up. Hide it. The same way you want yours hid from other people. Okay. Last one, inshallah ta'ala. Number five. وَمِنْ حَقِّ الْأَخْ عَلَى الْأَخْ أَلَّا يُعَيِّرَهُ بِذَنْبٍ وَلَا غَيْرِهِ فَإِنَّمَا عَيَّرَتُ taqta'ul wudda. He says, you know, we live in the roast culture. Like boys, friends, people that are tight, we live in this culture where roasting is like normal. When we're tight, we roast each other. Like you guys not roasting? Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Like sometimes I use these old like slang and my wife is like, yo, that's not hip no more. Like, what are you saying? Like, I'm like, I don't know. Like, it's hard to stay up. Like, things change so fast. So roasting is still like, and where I was from, you know what we used to call it? Ribbing. I'm serious. We used to call it ribbing. Like, he's ribbing on you. So any of my boys from Buffalo, New York, they know what I'm talking about. That's old school. Khair, inshallah. What do they call it in New Jersey? Roast? Allahu alam. Texas, that's what it is? Look at Facebook Live, see what everybody's saying. Nobody's saying nothing? Okay, we'll see. Yo, so look what he says here. Listen, the problem is, man, those things really affect people deeply. And it really doesn't strengthen the bonds between us. So what he says here is, don't get in the habit to ayyir. Ayyir, find faults, like point out. Ayyara means to point out things. So don't ayyara, roast your boy, roast your friend, be dhanbin for a sin they did. That's one level. Oh, you did this. Oh, you did that. Who you think you are? Trying to be pious. Now I saw what you did. This, that. The other thing is wala ghayrihi. Just roasting for the strength of roasting. Like, look at you. You know, like, you guys know what it's like, right? Anyways. So he's like, فَإِنَّ مَعَيَرَ. He's like, because this type of finding faults or like picking on people, تَقْتَعُ الْوُدَّ. It does break the love. It does break the love. Because you guys know, like, you hear something enough, it starts to hit you. At first you laugh it off, like, ha, but then you're like, it hits you after a while, right? He said, like, can you stop saying that now? Okay, I get it. And before you know it, you're fighting. You're like, yo, we were playing. And now there's a big beef. What happened? I was just playing. That's exactly how it goes, right? I was just playing. Because it hit. It hurt. And that breaks. Like, and subhanAllah, you know someone who roasted you for something, like 6 months later, you still remember they said that. You still remember that. It's like, yo, what's going on? Yeah, that's the dude that said that. Yeah, yeah. What's going on? Yeah, we cool. Yeah, word, yeah. But it's sitting there. So the point is, what is the verse in Bani Israel? إِلَّا بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنُ إِنَّ الشَّيْطَانَ يَقِفُ بَيْنَهُمْ يعني حفاظ وَلَا تَكُولُ إِلَّا بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the verse is in Surah Nahl, Surah Bani Israel, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, don't speak but what's good. Because why? Shaitan runs through the blood, man. You say something and it will really... وَقُلْ لِإِبَادِ يَكُولُ لَتِيهِ أَحْسَنْ. And say to my servants that... say that which is good. In the shaitan... يَنْزَغُ بَيْنَهُمْ. Perfect. Why? You say something wrong, shaitan يَنْزَغُ بَيْنَ. Will cause friction between you. Why? Because of a word you said. Even spousal. Like, sometimes you get these inside jokes. Those jokes hurt after a while. I'm just joking. Just joking. No, after a while, you start to like, you know, look like, word? You know? It gets to your heart, you know? You start to really become self-conscious of that. So I'm just messing around. But the point, let's, on the real, like seriously, all jokes aside, these are the first five rights. Wallahi, we can spend a lifetime trying to perfect these, okay? But let's just try with these five rights. Try to leave this gathering and look for good in the people around you. Try to look for good in people. And try to, I'm reading. Thank you. Okay. Try to look for good in people. Try to build this natural disposition where it's hard for you to see faults in people. That's the sign that we're moving towards a clean heart, inshallah ta'ala. Okay? That's all I wanted to cover for today, inshallah ta'ala. Allah give us tawfiq. I want to open it up for a discussion and questions at this point, inshallah ta'ala. Next week on Wednesday as well, we will be continuing with these rites, inshallah. As I said, Imam, we'll speed up a bit because Imam Sha'rani has over 60 rights. So we'll speed up a little bit, inshallah ta'ala, to try to get through all of them, inshallah. Questions, comments even, inshallah. Yeah, Fatima. Like answerable questions or just comments. Bismillah. Yeah.
That's the time that you're supposed to spend the most time alone, and that's what, like, is the sunnah of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. But I see that, like, for a lot of people who are starting on the path,
they need help.
They need help, and shaitan can easily
pull
them back.
Yes. Yes. So there's no doubt. There's no easy way to this. But I will say, in our culture, like, in this adolescence, teenage time, we spend so much time involved with other people that we seldom get time to kind of know who we are on our own. So remember the hadith. Al-wahdu khayru min jalisisu. Like, just go back to that hadith. The hadith is, solitude is better than a bad company, but good company is better than solitude. Right? Good company. Now, for the Prophet ﷺ, who's getting ready to meet Jibra'il, like, what good company could be, like, solitude is getting him ready for this meeting with Jibra'il, right? For many of us, like you said, especially depending on where you live in the States or wherever, by yourself could be Shaitan's door into you. And you need to surround yourself with positive company, right? So great point there. A lot of us need that positive company. But I feel, honestly, most of us are just, we have an over involvement with people. We're always. So for me, I'm going to just speak on a personal level. For me, it's about, you know, when I'm with the people, I'm with the people. But whenever I get those moments of solitude, ya Allah, I'm with you. You know what I'm saying? And especially like morning and evening, like those are times where I have to cut off and just recharge that battery to be have that connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What are you doing? All right. So, anyone else, inshallah? Yes, please, fadda.
Mm-hmm. From like the neck down, but like mashallah, there was like a note about him that like going in, it was just like good vibes in the place. And we were checking out and paying after we ate, and he just said salam alaikum to me and my friend. And I think we were just kind of thrown off, like, oh, okay, cool, it's like, what's salam, you know, like,
yes,
do you know what that is? And he was like,
because I'm Muslim,
he was even assuming at that point just because of just appearance. But he was like, well, I just recently converted.
Allahu
Akbar. I don't know, he just kind of got, well, my friend was paying, we started talking, and he kind of, I saw like a sadness in him when he was expressing, when I was like, oh, what did we go to? And kind of see if there was anything that he might have needed or curious about, like maybe my brother or anything like that. And he shared with me how, when you said something about how people can turn from the masjid, or how many people aren't going just because of not getting the benefit of the doubt or judgment.
Yes.
He said that just his appearance alone, just the non-visual, I mean, the non-verbals of everyone around him and looking at him, giving that judgment, or receiving that judgment, he got so uncomfortable. It was really hard, but he was still going to the masjid.
Subhanallah.
But he did not feel good, and he was just trying to put that faith in God.
Yeah.
And trying to avoid that these people that are supposed to be welcoming him in,
yeah,
with open arms were actually the ones giving him that feeling of isolation.
Yeah. It's a huge problem, guys. It's a huge problem at our masajid that people.
It's broke my heart, and it's been like 7 years now, and it's seriously tone and nonverbals, and I sound like I'm being super dramatic about it. But I'm just thinking about that one moment of like, if he didn't have that strong of a faith in God, he could have just dipped, like literally walked out of the room.
And many do. Fire, many
and
do.
Forgot about the faith.
Many do. Sara, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. No, many do, sister. That it's a major problem. We're quick to judge. And we don't have that capacity within ourselves to kind of, to not judge so quickly. And I know I've had a few incidents myself where, social media is full of these incidents where, you know, a new Muslim, he uses the restroom. We were having i'tikaf one, we were having like Qiyam al-Layl, and he goes to the restroom and, he doesn't know like the adab of the restroom. And one uncle sees him, right, like standing up and urinating in the bathroom, and he's becomes so angry at him that he just like gives him this, subhanAllah, goes so hard on him that, like, it broke him. It broke him. It broke him so deeply. So, I mean, it's very important that we, that brotherhood, man, we not so quick to jump on people. Understand. And the point that Imam Sha'arani was making, guys, is once you realize that everyone's at a different level, once you come to that conclusion and understand that we're not all on the same level, I can't use my standard for perfection and apply that on other people. I can't even use my standard on me a year from now or a year before, because I myself was going through different stages, let alone apply my standard today on someone else. So we need to allow people room to grow and really nasiha. Now, what I would say, though, is like, he'll talk later about nasiha, but nasiha needs to be something that's purely for the sake of nasiha. And Imam Shafi says, if you ever give nasiha publicly, you haven't given nasiha, you've humiliated. But that's it. If you ever give nasiha publicly, that's not nasiha. It's humiliation. That's all you intended. And subhanAllah, check yourself. You know? Check yourself. Listen. You see something, you want to call it out. Say to yourself, I'm going to wait and tell him or her later. Watch what happens. All of a sudden, that desire to call it out is gone. So you see where it was really coming from. You get what, everyone get what I'm saying? You see something, you want to call out. So it's easy to post on the comment feed, right? But what about a private message? Excuse me, brother. Or a call, subhanAllah, a phone call. All of a sudden, that desire to correct the wrong, the urgency of it kind of drops a bit. Why? Because that was shaitan. Like, yo, call him out. Call him out. And the self-righteousness behind it is that Allah is with you too. So call him out. Allah, subhanAllah. Allah give us tawfiq, inshaAllah. I hope this is beneficial. We need good company. We can't get close to Allah by ourselves. We need good company. I'm going to end with this. Imam Shafi said that make sure you have a lot of good friends for Allah. Good friends for Allah. And he says, because every mu'min will have an intercession on Yawm al-Qiyamah, you don't know which friend will grab your hand and pull you into Jannah. You don't know which friend will be that one that say, yo, I got you. So may Allah give us tawfiq, inshallah. So what we do to act upon this is after the halaq, after we pray Isha, we chill out for a few minutes. We don't just dip and drive through, get our knowledge and dip. We chill for a minute with each other. In the common area there, and just, you know, enjoy the company of each other. You know, see, you may be able to roll through and get what you need, but there may be another brother or sister that just needed to chill with and get the energy from the rest of you. So you're just being selfish, like, I got what I need, I'm out. No, there's other people here that just want to chill and say, salam, girl, what's going on? What's going on, bro? What you doing? You know, like, so subhanAllah, right after we pray, inshallah, we have like 4 minutes where we just sit and do a silent dhikr after we pray salat. Then after that, we just chill out. Sometimes we have tea. I don't know if we have tea now, but inshallah. Khair, inshallah. Wa akhira da'wana an alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Inshallah, we'll pray salatul isha right now, inshallah ta'ala. Assalamu alaikum. Someone call adhan. Qibla is that way. Yeah, post it.